Shirley was playing especially so slow on that. Let's try one and see if I can get it right. Number 51, praise the Savior. Yeah. Now Shirley recorded all these while she was going through chemotherapy, and sometimes she'd come in from having her treatment, and she would feel fairly good, and the tempo's good, and other times she's dragging it, the song's dragged. But I'm so thankful that we have them. Because we don't have anybody in the church that plays the piano. At one time we had three or four pianists. Okay, let's try Praise the Savior. And we'll do all five verses since we didn't do the other one. Uh-oh, here we go. Now it's sure to be on the tempo. With my hearing, without these I can't hear at all. And some of those she played softer than others, and if I can't hear it nice and loud, then I was trying to sing it at the tempo that it was written. Anyway, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful love and goodness to us and for your grace. We thank you for the privilege that's ours to be able to be gathered together to worship thee, to sing these songs of praise unto thee, and to know that it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to your mercy that you saved us, so that we're secure in Jesus Christ, knowing that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. At a point in time, you gave us the faith to believe. And now, as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of thee, by hearing the word of God proclaimed, we pray that each of us will mature spiritually and be faithful in that which you've committed to our trust. Pray for those that are away, Eric, traveling. We pray that you keep him safe. And for those that are ill, we ask for healing virtue in their bodies. We praise you and thank you that Diana was kept from being seriously injured when her vehicle hydroplaned. We just praise you and thank you for your saving grace. Bless in each of our hearts and lives now. Keep us strong in the faith and faithful to that which you've committed to our trust. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Yeah, Diana was coming up from California, and she was behind a truck. She started to pass heavy water on the road, vehicle hydroplane, so she was flying for a while. when you're hydroplaning, you've got no control. You can't brake. You can't steer. And so, you know, her car, all, how many airbags do you have? Seven?
12
airbags? They all deployed. And the car was totaled. Yeah. And but, you know, she bumped the side of her head a little bit, but doing good. So, yeah. Hey, there's that boy. Would you believe that this seven-month-old baby's got seven teeth?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got everybody's attention. Amanda, how much does he weigh now? Yeah, good to see you, guy. Yeah, yeah, that's the most photographed baby in the United States. Amanda is constantly putting pictures of Waylon on.
I know, every day I feel like I have to title it the Waylon photo dump.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Maybe he knows something that we don't know.
Right.
Yeah, because he's, you know, you don't usually get teeth until you're about at least, 13, 14 months old, usually. When you, isn't that normal? I can't remember. It was too long ago. Anyway, Aaron, why don't you come and take the offering?
You're on. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this day and your love and grace and goodness to us, and for this opportunity that we can be here and grow in your word. Now we just ask that you bless this offering, use it according to your will. Bless everyone that's here to hear your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I'm going to have to teach these people to take the offering to pray so we can hear it. How can we say amen if we can't hear it? I know you pray that way when you're alone with the Lord, but yeah. Okay. Well, it's. It's good to have each of you here, and it's especially good to have Diana come through her little ordeal with just a little bit of a bump on the head. So, yeah. All right, let's pray again before we start. Just, Father, we thank you for your love and grace to us, and as I minister this morning from the Word of God, we pray that you'll anoint my mind, and that we may see as we go through the scriptures that tradition denies the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the scriptures give us a clear account of Christ our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. Blessed in a very special way. Anoint my mind and the hearts of each of us as we receive the word of God. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'll wait and give the explanation after I start here and get the tape on. Okay, here we go. All right. This morning, rather than continuing where we've been in the book of Matthew, because this coming Saturday, I believe it is the Jewish Passover. And the scripture says over in 1 Corinthians 5:7, purge out, in verse 7, Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump.
I can't hear you. Is that mic up? Or I can't hear you.
What's going on here?
It's on. Maybe just turn it up. His voice on the
Lord.
Okay. I can hear it.
Just turn it up a little bit.
I'll just have to. 444. Now it's working.
Yeah. It's working.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry for the break in continuity for the people on the CDs. Can you hear me okay now, Marty? Yeah. Okay. During the Sunday school hour, rather than doing Eric's study in Colossians, I decided to take the fact that we're moving into a period of time. Easter's about to come. Easter is a pagan feast. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The Roman Church, in dealing with the Anglo-Saxons, was probably one of the first places that they did. But while they were dealing with them, when it came this time of year, the Anglo-Saxons that were driven into lakes and into streams and so forth, that they came out alive, they were suddenly Christians. They were still pagans, and they would worship the goddess of spring. And there's a number of different names, but virtually every pagan religion in the world has a goddess of spring. But that's where we get our name, Easter. Ostara, you know, there's a whole bunch of different names. And we find the word Easter once in the Bible, and that's not because of the Greek text, it's because of the King James translators who had come from the Roman Church had a tradition of Easter. They were keeping the same pagan feast, and that's why Ostara is the goddess of spring. She's the goddess of fertility. That's why we have Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. Hey. But Christ, our Passover, here in 1 Corinthians 5:7, was sacrificed for us. So Christ has to fit into the scriptures as the Passover. And so we see that he does very nicely when we do a little bit of studying to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, in the scriptures, over in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, and this gives us the timeline. Actually, it begins in the, let's begin reading in the verse 54 of the 11th chapter of John. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews. This is towards the end of his ministry now, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. And we've seen in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for. So we're connecting Christ with the Passover. Christ is our Passover. The Passover was near at hand. Okay, so now in that's the latter part of verse 55. And many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priest and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Now, here's where we get the connection, the timeline for the crucifixion of Christ. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. Now, we've already seen in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that Christ is our Passover that was sacrificed for us. The Jews, when they were delivered out of Egypt, were delivered on the Passover. The Passover was actually on the 15th day of the month. The lamb was put to death on the 14th day of the month. Okay? So here we get a timeline. And it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Now we'll deal with the first tradition, Palm Sunday. Now, next Sunday will be Palm Sunday, and the following Sunday will be Easter Sunday in the so-called Christian calendar. But this coming Saturday is the beginning of Jewish Passover, and it lasted for a whole week. Okay? So, 6 days before the Passover. Now, let's assume that Christ was crucified on Friday according to tradition and, then placed in the tomb. So if we have a Friday crucifixion, that would have to be the 14th because that's when the lamb was put to death. On the 15th was the Passover. So 6 days before Passover would be the 9th day of the month. If we count back, from Saturday, from Saturday at sunset, so that, and we count back 6 days, it takes us all the way back to Sunday, okay? Or actually, if we count back from Friday, but it takes us back to Sunday, and it was the next day that Jesus made his triumphal entry in Jerusalem. So right off, we have an error. Passover's on the 15th day of the month. Jesus came to Bethany 6 days before Passover. And then, as we will read in the Gospel of John, the next day he made his entry into Jerusalem. So if it was a Friday crucifixion and, at sunset, of course, it would be the beginning of Passover. Count back those days, we have to have a Monday, Palm Monday, not a Palm Sunday. So we're in error there. So then if we have a Friday crucifixion, are there 3 days and three nights according to the sign of the prophet Jonah over in the 12th chapter of Matthew? Jesus told the Jews as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, I don't care what kind of theories you use, you can't get 3 days and three nights between Friday afternoon and Sunday before dawn. Remember when the women arrived at the tomb, it was yet dark. Okay? So, again, the traditions of the church fail. But Christ fulfilled this perfectly. So we have to look for a different day. And we'll see that when we find that day, and we go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we've got all the information that we need as to when Christ was crucified, when he was examined by the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the Herodians, when they asked him questions and tried to trick him. All of those things were his trial as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Okay. So let's turn now. We're in the 12th chapter of John, and we just read the 11th chapter. So he came from Ephraim, and he came to Jericho. Now, we don't find that here, but we'll find that over in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that when he came to Jericho, and then from Jericho, he healed, one blind man going into Jericho, two blind men coming out of Jericho. And then as he was, the crowds were gathering, as he was on his way to Bethany, remember Zacchaeus, he's the little guy that was too short to see over the crowd, so he climbed a tree, and it says sycamore in the in our King James translation, it'd be very difficult to climb a sycamore tree. Yeah, but the real tree is a tree that's common in Israel. It's called the carob tree, and that's where the it has seed pods that they feed to pigs. That's the husk that the prodigal, when he would fain feed himself with the husk that he gave to the pigs, he was, here's a Jew feeding pigs. That's an unclean animal to him. But he fain would have fed himself with the husk. It's carob husk. And it comes from this tree that Zacchaeus climbed. Okay. Now, it says in John 12:1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. So we're going to have to go to the other Gospels to pick it up, but we will see that he came from Ephraim to Jericho, from Jericho, all of the things that happened there, and then arrived at Bethany just before sunset, 6 days before Passover, which would be the ninth day of the month. But at sunset, John uses Roman time, so it continues on like we keep time. But the Jews operate on Jewish time, so at sunset, it would not be the 10th day of or the ninth day of the month, it would be the night of the 10th. See? Now, if we go back to the book of Exodus, the Jews were to choose a lamb on the 10th day of the month. They were to examine that lamb, which we'll see in each of the examinations as we get into Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We'll see that Christ was examined, and they asked him all kinds of trick questions, and he confounded all of them. So he's examined from the 10th day of the month when he makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem to the 14th day of the month when he's hanged on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning and bows his head and dismisses his spirit at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then Joseph of Arimathea Nicodemus, they take his body and prepare it for burial and get it in the tomb just as the sun's going down. So it was in the tomb, we will see it will actually be a Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day. And at sunset is the first day of the week, but it's Sunday night first. Evening and the morning were the first day. See? So that we see that Christ fulfilled everything that was written of him perfectly. But we'll also see that the traditions of men, just like with the Jews, have a tendency to undermine the truth. Now, I know that it wasn't very long after I was saved. I was trying to figure out how Christ could be three days and three nights in the tomb if he was crucified on Friday. It just doesn't add up. And God, everything with God adds up. Okay, now let's pick up the reading here in the 12th chapter of John. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Now, he's the treasurer. He keeps the bag, and he wants that money that was the cost of that ointment in his bag, and John will tell us about that in a moment. He asked the question, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? That's a whole year's pay, 300 pence and given to the poor. This he said, and John is explaining to us, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying has she kept it. Now, sunset is brought on, even though John's using Roman time and it would be considered the same day, but at sunset by Jewish time, that would be the night of the 10th of the month. And if we go back to the 12th chapter of Exodus, the lamb had to be selected on the 10th day of the month. And we see then when the Lord rebukes Judas for, you know, he tells him, leave her alone. Notice what he says. Judas asks, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burying. Now, if we go back to Exodus chapter 10, we find, or chapter 12, rather, we find that the Passover lamb had to be selected on the 10th day of the month. Well, this is the night of the 10th. And he says about being anointed with this ointment against the day of my burying. Well, you don't bury somebody that isn't dead. And the Passover would be buried within the Jews. It would be sacrificed on the 14th day of the month, towards evening, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it would be roasted with fire in each of the houses where the Jews were in Egypt. But they had to first take the blood and strike it upon the doorposts and the lintels. So that God said, when I see the blood, I'll do what? I'll pass over you. So Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So when we get this timeline from John, we see that the lamb was anointed for burial on the night of the 10th. Okay? Now as we continue on, then said Jesus, let her alone, for the poor, in verse 8, always you have with you, but me have you not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Now in verse 12 of this chapter, on the next day, you know, so John's using Roman time, so he says it's the next day. But we're looking at this thing from Jewish time, so it's the day portion of the 10th. Okay? And you have to make that distinction. Now let's go back to the book of Mark. And we'll begin in the 10th chapter at verse 46. And they came to Jericho. Now we know he left Ephraim 6 days before the Passover. In John, we don't learn that he came to Jericho, but in Mark we do. They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, and he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. In essence, that's what happened to us when we heard the gospel preached and the Spirit of God quickened it to our hearts. We didn't utter those words, but that prayer was answered. He gave us sight, but our sight at first is not perfect. Yeah. And so when Paul was dealing with the Corinthians, he said, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. We have to grow up a little bit. Babies aren't born into this world mature. You know, they have to grow. Now, that great grandson of mine is in a hurry. You know, he's got 7 teeth at 9 months, and he looks like he's about a year and a half, or at least. Yeah, he's a big boy. You know. But, you know, I think he knows something we don't know. I believe the coming of our Lord is very near at hand. Anyway, let's continue with this. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee. That is, not thy faith, as translated, the faith of thee. It's got the definite article. It's a singular faith preceded by a singular definite article. The faith. The faith in you is what saves you. That's what saves You, that's what saves me. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, so now we're picking up the connection between Mark and John. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. This is on the day portion, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man set loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him thither. Now let's go over to Luke's gospel. Let me see the chapter there in Luke. Trying to keep all of this together requires a lot. Okay. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 10? Okay. No, I've got the wrong portion of scripture. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Like Luke 19. Well, when I write, 9s and 10s look alike. Okay. Now, we're going to pick up here in the... actually, the 18th chapter of Luke. And let's start at verse 35. And it came to pass, this is going back 6 days before Passover, that as he was cometh nigh unto Jericho, so he came from Ephraim to Jericho, and from Jericho to Bethany, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. So we have blind men healed at both ends of Jericho, okay? And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, the faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Okay, now, we've got to go ahead a little bit. Now, let's go pick up at, okay. Okay, let's pick up at verse 28 in this 19th chapter of Luke. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. It came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Now, he arrives on, 6 days before Passover, just before sunset, it's going to be the 10th of the month. Now, the next day is still the 10th day of the month. He sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering in you shall find a colt tied, whereupon never man set, loose him and bring him to me. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. Now, in one of the accounts, and I've forgotten which one it is right now, it says, they found the colt tied where two ways met. Okay, now think about it. In the book of Exodus, we find out that man needs to be redeemed. In the book of Exodus, the same chapter, we find out that asses need to be redeemed. So if an ass bears a colt, the first colt that she bears, if you don't offer that colt unto the Lord or make a sacrifice for that colt, you have to pick a sacrifice or redeem that colt. If you don't do it, you have to break its neck and drag it out to the dump. Now, where are we? We're like the ass. We're tied. What? Dead in trespasses and sin. Where? We're two ways met. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. Broad way and many there be that go in thereat, and narrow way and few there be that find it. So I think it's in the, might be in Matthew's account. But anyway, you find the colt where two ways met. He's tied up. Where were we? We were tied up where two ways met. Broad way, we can go that way, or narrow way. See? And who looses us? Well, somebody who knows the truth comes and preaches the truth of the Word of God to us, and we're loosed. Okay? So then he says, bring him to me. I have need of him. Okay? You have need of me? A rotten sinner like me, you have need of me? See? But when the Lord saves us by his grace, our sins and iniquities, as he doesn't remember against us anymore. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He has need of us because in every generation we have to have believers to take the truth of the gospel to unbelievers who are like that ass, tied up, where two ways meet. And the way that they're more than likely going to go is the broad way, because it seemeth right unto a man. But we're brought into the narrow way by God's grace through faith when a servant of the Lord comes and looses us by the preaching of the truth of the Word of God. So they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and he sat thereon. This is called the triumphal entry. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stone should cry out immediately. Okay, now let's figure out this out a little bit. Christ was actually crucified on the 14th day of the month. If we count back 6 days before Passover, that makes the 9th of the month a Friday. At sunset is Saturday. Okay? So he was anointed for burial on the Sabbath. Okay? The next day, still the Sabbath. Go and find a colt tied where two ways met. Now, turn over to the book of Acts, first chapter. Sometimes we find things in places in the scripture that don't seem to be related to what we're studying at all. That's why the Lord said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now let me see if I can find this verse real quick. Okay. In Acts 1, let me look. They choose... I haven't done this for a while. Okay, here we are. In verse 12. Then they returned unto Jerusalem. This is after our Lord's been crucified. From the Mount of, called all of that. See, our Lord's been crucified. He's been buried. He's been raised from the dead. They went to the Mount of Ascension with him. And now they're returning. But here we learn that Bethany is from Jerusalem. What distance? Read it to me in verse 12. A Sabbath day's journey. Okay? So Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, which was lawful for him to do, because Jerusalem was from Bethany a Sabbath day's journey. Now, when we take all of these things together, we find, it's a long study. I doubt that I can get it in before what we call Easter. But I may continue to deal on this, and then I may just go back to my regular lessons. But I just wanted you to understand, because we're coming up, they're going to talk about Palm Monday. Well, he didn't make his triumphal entry on a Monday or Sunday. He made it on a Saturday. And he wasn't crucified on a Friday. He was crucified on a Wednesday. He wasn't placed in the tomb at the beginning of the Sabbath. He was placed in the tomb at the beginning of the Passover Sabbath, which was the 15th day of the month. So he fulfilled the Passover perfectly. And according to the sign of the prophet Jonah, which we read over in Matthew, no sign will be given unto you but the sign of the prophet Jonah, as Jonah was how many? 3 days and three nights. Does any part of the day satisfy you? It didn't satisfy me from the time I was a brand new believer. I kept trying to figure out how you just can't get 3 days and three nights. You know, and I know God can't lie, you know, but it was puzzling for me. That's why it's been so important to me all my ministry. You know, because I know there are people out there with the same sort of doubts that I had. You know, I couldn't figure it out, but I knew the scriptures couldn't be at fault. And that's the way we need to approach them. The skeptic approaches the scriptures from the point of view of trying to find fault, trying to disprove it. But the believer knows all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? In righteousness. That the man of God or the believer might be perfect or complete, of a full age, mature. See? And that's why Paul said to the Corinthians, I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. They have to go from being a babe to being mature, you know. And my great-great-grandson's in a big hurry. Got 7 teeth at 7 months. That's crazy. Or 9 months. It's great. But he's trying to grow up in a hurry. And that's okay. All right. Now, let's go to the book of Mark now. And the 10th chapter. And we'll pick up the chronology of what took place. Matthew, Mark. So, now in verse 46. So, remember they left Ephraim. They went to Jericho. I think it was one blind man healed going in, two blind men coming out. He had a noon meal with Zacchaeus. And then he continued on up the journey from Jericho to Bethany, and he had to arrive at Bethany within a Sabbath day's journey of sunset. So he could have arrived a little bit after sunset, but more than likely it was before. And so he says in verse 46, and they came to Jericho. So this is picking up the context from the 10th chapter of John. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind said unto him, Lord. Now, son of David, that's not going to do anything for us. That's Christ in his humanity. But now he uses the word Lord. Lord, that I might receive my sight. And that's, in essence, whether we said those words or not, that's what took place the day we came to salvation. We didn't know much, but we knew that Christ was our Savior. For some, it's very early. Some of my children were saved at 5 years of age, And all of them by the time they were 6 years of age. And nothing's ever had to change. Okay? And so it's the faith, except you become like little children. Okay? And if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you have to, that's like a child. Don't lie to your kids, you're going to have to deal with Easter, and you're going to have to deal with Santa Claus, and it's okay. It doesn't cripple them when they get to say, I can remember Bailey saying, we were having a get-together, I think it was over at Debbie's, and Bill Tate was alive then, and he was dressed up in a Santa Claus suit. And Bailey, I think she said to Katie, she says, I think Santa Claus is Uncle Bill. they get to that age and they figure it out. So you don't make any denials at that point in time, But children live in a make-believe world. When I was a kid, I used to listen to a program every Saturday morning on the radio. That's when we didn't have TV. This is before World War II. And there was a show on called Let's Pretend. And all of the nursery rhymes and those stories, Jack and the Beanstalk and all that kind of stuff, they would narrate them on radio. And actually, the narration is better than TV. TV, you got to look, and you can see the faking stuff, But on the radio, with your imagination and the different actors playing the different parts, man, you can see it in your eyes. There's nothing fake about a child listening to nursery rhymes on the radio, So I used to listen to that. Let's Pretend. Okay. So, in verse 11 of the, in verse 1 of the 11th chapter, and when they came nigh to Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of the disciples. So this is, he arrived, they had the meal. We didn't record that here. And then the next day, which would be the same day in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but John uses Roman time, and saith unto him, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find the colt. And then, I was here in Mark all along. And they went their way and found the colt. I tried to go over to Luke to find this, and it was right here. Your memory's failing you. I hope I'm not as bad as, President Biden. Those two words just don't go together. That was a fake election. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without. They're outside the door. Who is the door? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So we're outside the door in a place where two ways meet, a broad way and a narrow way. And, somebody that was chosen of God, saved, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as we preach the word of God, what? We're loosed, those that are still bound in trespasses and in sin. And for those that are saved, then we hear the word of God and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. So the people that were caring for those animals let them take it. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, it was now eventide. And he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Now, on the morrow, so now it's the 11th day of the month. When they were come from Bethany, he was hungry and seeing a fig tree. See? And he curses the fig tree, you know. And on the morrow, see, he made a triumphal entry on Saturday. On the morrow, it's Sunday. And the fig tree's cursed. Israel's no longer the custodian of the truth. See? You know, it was the Jews that gave forth the truth. Christ was sacrificed for us. And he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it and found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee forever. And his disciples heard it. So through the entire church age, who is the custodian of the truth? Jesus said in each of the Gospels, he gave a great commission, also in the book of Acts. All, in essence, all authority is, or all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore. And then just shortly after, as we've seen in our studies back in Genesis, when the servant went into a far country to find a bride for Isaac, that represents the Holy Spirit and the church, preaching the gospel, you know, in a far country to find a bride for Christ, and Rebecca willingly comes. She's given the opportunity to, let her stay for 10 days. And she says, no, I'll go now. Okay. And so, kind of putting our Wednesday night studies together with it, you know. So Rebecca represents the church being called out of a far country, the Gentile nations of the world, brought to Isaac. And so when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord. And we're going to meet him in the air. And then when we meet him, then when he comes in his second advent, and, we have the Battle of Armageddon, the false prophet, and the Antichrist will be cast into the lake of fire. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and then after that, Satan will be loose. We read in the 25th chapter of Matthew about certain people that enter the kingdom not based upon salvation, but inasmuch as you've done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. So there are going to be, so-called righteous people that enter the kingdom based upon their works. And Satan's bound, so he can't deceive them. And at the end of the 1,000 years, what do we read over in the book of the Revelation? Satan will be loosed a little season and go out and do what? Deceive the nations. The nations of whom? Those that entered the kingdom based upon their works. He can't deceive us. We've been raised, glorified, and adopted. When we see him, we shall be like him. So who are those going to be? Well, those that entered the kingdom based upon their works. And yet, as soon as the devil is loosed a little season, he'll go out to deceive the nations, and they will immediately be deceived, and they'll come against the camp of the saints, and where the Lord is, where we are, and they'll try to destroy us, and the Lord will call down fire from heaven and destroy them. And then we'll have the great white throne judgment, and after that, a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. And when we read over in the 21st chapter of the book of the Revelation about the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem, who goes in and out there? Those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. When we have the great white throne judgment, after the books of works are open, then the book of life is open, and their names are not there. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, there's nothing in Scripture for filler. You know? And if we get through all four accounts in the next couple of weeks, we will cover a lot of ground in a short period of time. But we're establishing the fact that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for. He was chosen on the, of the 10th day of the month. He came from Jericho to Bethany on the 9th day of the month. He made his triumphal entry on the 10th day of the month. Each of the subsequent days, we're going to see him tried by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the chief priests, by Pilate, and ultimately what? I find no fault in this just man. What will you have me do with him? And they say what? Crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. Sad state of affairs. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And as we go through these studies the next few Sundays, we pray that you'll bless in a very special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.